You have your Bibles open to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read verse 1 through 11. Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me? These I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness is which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul here is giving us basically a synopsis of his life. He talks about what he was. He talks about how he lived as a Jew, as a Pharisee. And then he talks about all of the things which he did to fight the New Testament church, which literally meant he was fighting God. Then he talks about that which was more important to him, his faith in Christ, the power of the resurrection, and how he promoted that in the latter part of his life. I want us to kind of break this passage down tonight, and let's talk about counting the loss that Paul counted and rejoicing in Christ when he found out the things that he needed to rejoice in. You know, when we look at this text by Paul, in the first six verses particularly, we see things that he eventually saw no reason to rejoice about in his life. You know, he had no reason to really rejoice about his physical ancestry. You know, he talked about this. He talked about his confidence in the flesh. He talked about his being circumcised on the eighth day. He talked about his being in the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, that he was a Hebrew of all Hebrews. But yet these things were not important to him when he penned the book of Philippians. He didn't rejoice over his religious affiliation, that being a part of the old law and even being a Pharisee of the Pharisees. So he was the hierarchy in his own mind of the Pharisee belief. You know, it's possible to even today for us to be converted to a church or to be converted to a religious group and not be converted to Christ. This is what we see happening for Paul here. Because at one point in his life, he looked at the things that he did as godly. As a Pharisee, as fighting Christianity, he saw himself working for his God and doing what he needed to do to stop this ridiculous thing called Christianity from taking a hold of people and changing their lives. And he thought that was important at the time. And you know, he tells us that we will face dangers of those who will organize and begin religion on their own without being actually converted to Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26, Paul talks about being in peril. And he mentions several things that he is in peril of in his life. But one thing he mentioned in verse 26, he mentioned the being in perils among the false doctrine. People who would come at him with things that are not true, that are not godly, that are not from God's word, and try to change his mind about his godliness. And in Philippians 3, verse 17 through 19, he talks about enemies. And then he mentions the enemies of the cross. At one time, he was all of this. But now, it has changed. These things are no longer important to him. He saw no reason to rejoice in his own zeal. We read this in Philippians 3 and verse 6 that I just read. Paul was very zealous in what he did for God, both before his conversion to Christianity and then as well as after his conversion to Christianity. In all of the above, he looked at himself as being a godly person, as following the will of God. And you know, being zealous can be a good thing. But sometimes if we're zealous for the wrong thing, it can give us trouble. And Paul recognized this, and he saw no reason to rejoice in the zeal that he had as a Pharisee, as a Jew, as someone following under the old law. You know, many people would think that Paul had many reasons to rejoice. He was a very outgoing person. He was a very popular person among the people. He was a strong, firm, standing person in what he believed. But then when we read this passage of Scripture and we find at the end that he counted all of these things loss, they were rubbish to him. Throw them away, he said, because he has Christ. Everything was loss for Christ. So when we look at all of these things that Paul had no reason to rejoice in anymore, what did he rejoice in? He tells us later on in our writing here in from Philippians 3, between verses 7 and 11, he tells us some of the things that he rejoices in. And he tells us that we as well can rejoice in these things. First, he tells us that we can rejoice in the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, our knowledge of Christ is more valuable than any other knowledge that we can obtain. Now, we have all been to school. Some of us went through high school. Some of us went through college. Some of us went through extra college credit after we got our four-year degree. So we consider ourselves to be knowledgeable people because we have been to school to learn knowledge. But the knowledge that we have in Jesus Christ and his word is far more valuable than any of these things. Listen to what Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul is telling us that the greatest things that we can learn, the greatest knowledge that we can achieve in life, is going to come from Christ, from the Father, not from the things that we learn in the world. It is our knowledge in Christ that allows us to be free from the guilt and the consequences of sin. What is it that man gives us that can do that? Absolutely nothing. Jesus tells us in John 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And what that tells us is that nothing but the truth of Jesus Christ will make you free. So, we need to understand the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then we need to rejoice in the fact that we can remain in Christ, or as he said here in Philippians 3 and verse 9, to be found in him. We are placed in Christ as a result of our obedience. This is what Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost. Upon their repentance and their baptism, they will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of that, in the end of that passage, it tells us the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. It was those who were obeying God who were being saved. And he says the same thing in Galatians 3, verse 27, for as many of us as are baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. So we find that we remain in Christ. We are put into Christ. We remain in Christ through our obedience. John 15, verse 4 and 5, Jesus talks about abiding and how important it is that we abide in Him. He said, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. So we need to abide in Christ. If our Christianity is going to be what it should be, if we are going to bear fruit for the Lord, we must attach ourselves to him and remain in him. Or else we cannot succeed in being fruitful for him. We can rejoice in the righteousness of God. Now, righteous, what does that actually mean? If you look it up in the dictionary, it's going to tell you that you have been justified. That you have done that which is necessary to find yourself pleasing to God. When God considers a person to be righteous, a person that has been justified, it means that he has been acquitted of all guilt. He has removed the guilt of sin. He has justified us as his children. The blood of Christ brings this justification, this righteousness to us, to all who believe in him. Romans 4, verse 3, Paul says, for what does the scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And the same thing is true with us. When we obey his word, God counts it to us for righteousness, and we are righteous. Obviously, belief in God and obedience to God allows us to rejoice because we are found in the righteousness of God. We also rejoice in knowing Christ. You know, there is a vast difference in knowing someone and knowing about someone. We all know about George Washington. We all know about Abraham Lincoln. We all know about General Grant or General Robert E. Lee. Every one of us know about these men, because they have been so important in the lives of history throughout the years. We know about these men, but does anybody really know these men? No one in this room has ever met any of them, because they lived hundreds of years before us. But we know about them. You know, in order to have a personal relationship with someone, we have to know them, not just know about him. We live in a world today where practically, well, we'll say everybody, but most people on this planet know about Jesus Christ. But they do not know him as their Lord and Savior. Jesus said in John 17 and verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Christ Jesus, whom you have sent. We have to go beyond knowing about someone. We must know him. And we have an opportunity as Christians to know Christ and to know him in a better day every day that we live. And that's very important for us. And we can rejoice in that fact. We can rejoice in the power of His resurrection. It was God's power that raised Christ from the dead. And just as that power raised Christ from the dead, it will also be the power that raises us from the dead at the end of time. And these words are beautiful words to the Christian. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. That's the power of the resurrection. And you and I are recipients of that power as children of God. And then finally, we can rejoice in the promise of heaven. Now, have no doubt, there will be an end of time. Whether you like to think about it, whether you accept it or not, there will be an end of time. Jesus describes this event in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, he said, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. This is going to happen. Be assured of it. For us, as children of God, this is a wonderful day. It is the greatest day that can ever happen for us if we are found in Christ. Jesus refers to heaven as the resurrection of life. Luke referred it in Acts 24:15 as the resurrection of the just. So this is a wonderful day for us, and we can rejoice in the fact that we have the promise of heaven from God Himself. Jesus tells us in John 14, verse 2 and 3, I am going to prepare this place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a promise, folks. This is a gift given to us, and we need to rejoice about this. Are there things that we can rejoice about as a child of God? Yes, there is. Was there something that Paul could rejoice about, having counted all things lost? Yes, there was. He counted all things lost because of Christ, because he rejoiced in Christ and everything that Christ meant to him. And all of us who are willing to give up the things of this world can rejoice because we still have the things of Jesus Christ. So, are you willing to count the cost? Are you willing to suffer loss of all the things that this world is offering to you, to accept the greater things that come through Jesus Christ? My friends, we need to rejoice in Jesus, not the things on this earth. Peter tells us the things on this earth will be destroyed one day. It will melt in fervent heat. We can't rejoice in that because it's going to be gone. But we can rejoice for that which will continue. Heaven will continue. The inhabitants of heaven will continue. I want to be one of them, don't you? Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you can be an inhabitant of heaven. And you can rejoice about that tonight if you're willing to give your life to the Lord and obey His word. Christian friend, if you have allowed things to step in your way to keep you from abiding in Christ, and you've lost your reason to rejoice because the world has come back in, we want to give you an opportunity to do as Paul has done here. He's counted it all for loss. It's not important to him anymore. Make the world unimportant to you and give your life to Christ. Come back to Christ and rejoice in the fact that you can, and rejoice in the fact that He will forgive you again and take you back. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand to sing this song.